Translation, Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual. They are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation, the shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes, and they're all pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore, they're always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who is actually learned must give up the illusory conception of life, in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relation with this body is mine. Purport in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna clearly says, Mama Vamsa Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta. The living entities are part of me, and they're For the living entities are qualitatively the same as the Supreme Personality of God, who is the leader, the supreme among all the living entities. In the pages it is said, Nityoni Chanam Chaitanas Chaitanam. The Lord is the chief, individual living entity, the leader of the subordinate living entities. Because the living entities are parts or samples of God, their qualities are not different from those of the Supreme Lord. The individual entities have the same qualities as the Lord, just as a drop of seawater is composed of the same chemicals as the great sea itself. Thus, there is oneness in quality, but a difference in quantity. One can understand the Supreme Personality of God by understanding the sample of the living entity, because all the qualities of God exist in a minute quantity in the living entities. There is oneness, but God is great, whereas the living entities are extremely small. Anoraniyam, Atomaniyam. The living entities are smaller than the atom, but God is greater than the greatest. Our conception of greatness may be represented by the sky, because we think of the sky as being unlimitedly big. But God is bigger than the sky. Similarly, we have knowledge that the living entities are smaller than atoms, being 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. Yet, the quality of being the supreme cause of all causes exists in the living entity, as well as in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Indeed, it is due to the presence of the living entity that the body exists and bodily changes take place. Similarly, because the Supreme Lord is within this universe, the changes dictated by it, material laws occur. The word eka, meaning individual, significant, as explained in Bhagavad Gita, mastani sarvabhutani nachahan keshavastitaha. Everything material and spiritual, including earth, water, air, fire, sky, and the living entities, exists on the platform of spirit soul. Although everything is an emanation from the Supreme Personality of God, one should not think the Supreme Lord is dependent upon anything else. Both God and the living entity are fully conscious. As living entities, we are conscious of our bodily existence. Similarly, the Lord is conscious of the gigantic cosmic manifestation. This is confirmed in the Vedas, Yasmin Yo Prithvi Chantariksham, Vigatara Padikina Vijaniyat, Ekamayantiyam. Atmajyoti samra ivo vacha sayamano asrajita asrajita satyam jnanam anantam asangvaya purusha purnasya purnamadaya purnameva visishyate. All these Vedic conjunctions prove that both the Supreme Personality of God and the minute soul are individual. One is great, the other is small, but both live are the cause of all causes, the powerfully limited and the universally unlimited. We should always remember that although we are equal to the Supreme Personality of God in quality, we are never equal to Him in quantity. Persons with a small fundamental intelligence finding themselves equal in quality with God foolishly think that they are equal in quantity also. Their intelligence is called avishuddha buddhaya, unpolished or contaminated intelligence. And such persons, after enduring hard for many, many lives, who understand the Supreme Cause, are finally in actual knowledge of Krishna Vasudev, they surrender unto Him. Thus, they become great Mahatmas, perfect souls. If one is fortunate enough to understand his relationship with God, knowing that God is great, whereas the living entity is small, he is perfect in knowledge. The individual exists in darkness when he thinks that he is the material body, and everything in relationship with the material body belongs to him. This is called Maha. This is illusion. One must give up his illusory conception and thus become fully aware of everything. Translation: Atma refers to the Supreme Lord or the living entities. Both of them are spiritual, free from birth and death, free from deterioration, and free from material contamination. They are individual. They are the knowers of the external body, and they are the foundation or shelter of everything. They are free from material change. They are self-illuminated. They are the cause of all causes. They are all-pervading. They have nothing to do with the material body, and therefore they are always uncovered. With these transcendental qualities, one who actually learns it must give up the illusory conception of life, in which one thinks, I am this material body, and everything in relation with this body is mine. So, this continues Prahlad's teaching about the soul. In the previous verse, he talked about the essential difference between the self and the body, and that was no change. Here, he's giving more details. The word Atman itself actually is derived from, or literally it means that which spreads itself outwards, spreads. So in other words, it implies his consciousness. At the same time, he is unchanging. So we can say that water spreads out, but in doing so, it changes its form. The Atma, however, does not change its form, but merely it spreads in terms of its knowledge, its consciousness. And though the Atma, the individual Jiva, is subject to ignorance in the sense of his knowledge becomes affected or limited, the essential nature of the Jiva never changes. So in that sense, he is Shuddha. We never mix matter into the Jiva. It's always a chip particle. So in that sense, it is pure. It is a kshetrajna, or a knower of the body, knower of material energy, etc. So that explains its consciousness. And it is ekka. It is a point of, a one point of I am aware. It's not two things there. It's one person who has awareness. In that sense, it's ekka. And asraya means he is the person who experiences things. In Rasa Shastra, they also have the concept of asraya and vishaya. So the devotee, in comparison to Krishna, it is the devotee is the asraya. He is the experiencer, and the vishaya is the object he experiences. That's Krishna. So it's only because we have an asraya and a vishaya that we have experiences. So the jiva is the person who experiences things. So, in spite of all of these experiences, etc., the jiva does not change. We can say, well, look, he's getting changed in consciousness. Yeah, aware of the tree, aware of the temple, aware of the flower. So there's consciousness keeps changing. Yeah, that is true. But the essential nature of the jiva does not change. So qualities like knowledge and purity, etc., never change for the jiva. Now, what he's aware of, that changes. And we can say the same thing about the Supreme Lord. The Lord also was unchanging, eternal, etc. Yet, he is constantly aware of things. So, he has changed in his consciousness, and what he's aware of. But certain aspects never change. So those are fixed all the time, and then we have change of awareness or whatever. So Avrikriya refers to the unchanging aspects. Svadrigvi explained is like Svaprakasha. That means Svadrig literally means seeing the self. Self-seeing, or seeing by the self. The jiva does not require another entity in order to know something. It can reveal objects on its own. And it can know itself also. And it can be aware that it's knowing itself. So, in other words, it is a center of consciousness which is aware of other things. And hetu. Of course, hetu means the cause. Now, obviously, there's a big difference between the jiva as a hetu and the Supreme Lord as a hetu. The jiva is the cause of his consciousness and the cause of his material body, etc. But he is limited in his causal nature. He can do things, he can cause things to happen to some extent as a doer or agent. And probably the best or the highest hetu in the material world is Lord Brahma. He is the cause of the material universe. But that again is limited, because he cannot act unless the Supreme Lord gives him the powers and permits him to act. Okay? So in that sense, his nature as a cause or agent is dependent on the Supreme Lord's powers. Hmm? So the Supreme Lord is the ultimate cause of everything. Everything else is secondary cause. And he is Vyapaka, spread everywhere, in the sense that he spreads his consciousness. The jiva cannot spread himself throughout the universe and throughout the spiritual world. Only the Lord can do that. And the Lord is Vibhu, is everywhere. The jiva is not. But he can spread himself throughout his limited body. Asangi. So he's not dependent on the material body. Though he's in the body, ultimately, he is not mixed with the body. And when he dies, he leaves the body again. So he's not completely mixed up with the material body at all. He can detach himself from the body, and he can get another body. On the other hand, we also know that the body is the cause of attachment for him. The jiva is attached to his material body. In that sense, he's not a sanghi. He is very related to his material body. But that is due to his consciousness, not due to the nature of the jiva and the nature of matter. They're very, very different. But due to consciousness, he becomes attached. So here it says, anavratam. In its pure state, definitely the jiva is not covered by anything. He does not have a material body. He does not have a subtle material body. In a liberated state, he is free from that. So that's his essential nature. In the material world, however, the Lord does get covered up. That we have a subtle body and we have a gross body, which cover the jiva. So, some jivas are eternally uncovered. They are the nityasiddhas. And some are the opposite. They are in the material world, and they are called nityabuddhas. They are covered up by matter, and by subtle matter in the form of the mind, intelligence, etc. So in that sense, there is covering for some of the jivas, those in the material world. His nature is not to be covered, but due to the choice of the jiva, sometimes he is covered. These are some of the qualities of the jiva. And as Prabhupada points out in the purport, there are also qualities of the Supreme Lord. Though in the Supreme Lord, they are not limited. The Lord is pervading everywhere. The Lord is completely unattached to material bodies and never covered by material bodies at all in any state. So in that sense he is a little bit different, and as a cause, of course, he is the supreme cause. So the qualities of the Supreme Lord are similar but not exactly the same, because the Lord is unlimited in all ways. So the intelligent person, give up the conception of I am this body and these material objects are mine, this material body is mine, etc. This aham mama has to be given up. So though the jiva is completely different from matter and the material body, unfortunately, everyone is identified with it. So that is why Prahlad here is explaining, you have to give up this concept of aham and mama. I and mine. I in the sense that I am the body. Mama in the sense that mine, that these objects are mine in the material world. Why? Because this is a false concept. Actually, you are the Atma here, as described, which is eternal and pure and uncovered and experiencer, etc. And it's not the body who's experiencing anything. It's not the body who's eternal. It's not the body that's pure or unchanging. It's none of these things. Body is changing all the time. Body is not pure. It's impure at all stages. Body is destructible. Jaya. It declines. The body is not self-illuminating. It does not give knowledge in itself. It is matter. It is not the cause. The cause of life is not the body. The cause is the jiva and the Supreme Lord in the body. Material body is limited. It cannot expand itself. So, the jiva identifies with the body in spite of the fact that the body is quite unlike the jiva. But it projects these qualities upon the material body. So then the person thinks, my body is eternal, my body is pure, my body is perfect, my body is unchanging. Because that's the natural state of the jiva. That's what the jiva is. So we project that on the material body, but unfortunately it's not true. So therefore the body changes, the body dies, the body undergoes a lot of problems, etc., which are not to be expected, because the jiva wants something which is perfect and eternal and unchanging, etc., and without death. This is nature. So by projection onto the material body, we become very disappointed because the body doesn't act like it's supposed to act. It is very temporary and changing and full of miseries, etc. So this is the frustration of material life. We identify with the body, but the body does not fulfill our expectations. And therefore, one becomes very disappointed. But as Prahlad previously explained, unfortunately, the jivas do not learn this lesson in one lifetime, and therefore they take another body, and again they try to enjoy in the next material body, thinking that's going to be eternal, unchanging, and giving happiness, etc. And it doesn't. And then next lifetime, they try again. So this is what's called chewing the chew. They take the same experience again, and they try again, and again, and again. So this is foolishness. So there's a purpose in all of this. In the material world, for people that don't have faith and knowledge, they must undergo these experiences as a human being. And after many lifetimes of doing this, one would expect them to get tired of it. And they realize chewing the chew is not very interesting anymore. So this is one of the methods by which the Lord tries to convince the living entity to do something else. By letting him repeat experiences life after life in the material world and becoming disappointed each time. So out of frustration, the jiva thinks it must be something better than this. So that is one method, simply rebirth in the material world with similar conditions to convince the jiva of something different. Now of course, the Lord also has other methods. The other method is the law of karma. So by the law of karma, the more you try to enjoy in the material world, the more you suffer. Unless you follow the laws of dharma. But if you follow the laws of dharma, then you also, in one sense, restrict what types of enjoyment you can have. So therefore, your enjoyment is limited in certain ways. And then you can prolong your enjoyment, get sattvic enjoyment, go to svargaloka, etc. But to do that, you have to avoid certain types of activities, sinful activities you have to avoid. So you get limitation and sense control in order to get your enjoyment in the material world. And that strategy is there to bring the person to a sattvic state of consciousness where in sattva they can realize atma. So the quality of sattva guna is prakasha. And we learned that svaprakasha means, of course, the jiva is aware of itself. So prakasha means that the person is aware that he's not the body at that point. So that's the quality of sattva guna, even though it's matter. subsequent matter, but it can give you understanding, I am the Atma. So Atma Gyan is part of Sattva Guna. The process of Jnana Yoga is part of Sattva Guna, to understand Atma. So that is available when you get to Sattva Guna. So the whole process of karma, and then Karma Yoga, and Varnashram, and all of this, is to raise your consciousness to Sattva Guna, where you can say, ah, not the body, I am the soul. And to help in that process, then the Lord gives scriptures and devotees, etc. So, in this way, the Lord does not leave the jiva in the material world. He makes arrangements for him for progress. One, by taking body after body and getting his experiences, limited experiences in the body, and becoming frustrated. Second is by law of karma, by which he can elevate himself to Sattva Guna and realize, ah, I'm not the body anymore, I'm Atma. So, beyond that, the Lord actually gives knowledge in the Vedic literature. So to go beyond Atma-gyan is a little difficult. That is why the scripture is there. Without the scripture, one can come at least to that level, I'm not the body, I'm something else. But to understand everything about the Atma, then you need scripture. So, what does scripture do? First it says you're not the body. But then it also distinguishes between the Supreme Lord and the individual. So that has to be done through scripture. It is not that knowledge about the Supreme Lord is not available through speculation and jnana process. Through jnana process, we can conclude Atma. We cannot conclude Supreme Lord, different from Atma. So, therefore, the scripture is very important to define the nature of the Supreme Lord, the nature of the jiva, and the relationship between the two. Usually, in the scriptures, they begin instructions with understanding you're not the body, you are Atma. Difference between matter and spirit. And it's rather undifferentiated what that spirit is. It could be Atma, it could be Paramatma, the Supreme Lord. Because they can share similar qualities. As we see in this verse, Prabhupada explains it. It's both ways. It's both. This applies to Jiva and Supreme Lord. So this is how the instructions begin. Just spirit in general, different from matter. But then the next important stage is to distinguish between the Jiva and the Supreme Lord. So that is a very important step. So jnana doesn't go to that stage. And yoga doesn't go to that stage. It's only bhakti, which will differentiate the Atma and the Supreme Lord and establish their relationship. Of course, Prahlad begins in this way with the general instructions as Krishna does in Bhagavad Gita, but later on, the elaboration is given where we understand there's a distinction between the individual Atma and the Supreme Lord. So we can't separate the two knowledge and say this is the complete knowledge. The self-realization has to be related with the realization of Supreme Lord. Otherwise, it is incomplete knowledge.
Uh-huh. So what about the rajaguna?
There's a slight inclination, but not so much. Rajaguna is difficult. Its nature is action related to fulfilling goals in the material world. This quality is not prakasha.
You mean to say that the yogis are sattva?
Yogis have to be good yogis. Not the tantrics and others who are in the mode of passion and ignorance. But real yogis have to actually be very sattvic. Usually it cannot take place. It is rather the other way around. The person can communicate with the subtle body without the gross body, but you can't do the opposite way around. The subtle body and the Atma are intimately related because the the subtle body goes with the Atma birth after birth after birth in the material world. Someone says it's almost eternal because it goes with you life after life, whereas you keep on giving up your material body. So actually the subtle body is more important than the gross body for the jiva, and it maintains that life after life after life. So it's very difficult to bypass that. That is the source of his, let's say, the first source of his identity with the subtle body and then with the gross body. Realization. The realization comes automatically along with the realization of the Lord and Baba stage. Yeah. Well, of course, the devotee doesn't care what type of body it is, as long as he can be practice devotion. So whether he's an animal or what, it doesn't really matter. But he wants to serve the Lord birth after birth. But as Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita, if one practices bhakti, nothing is lost, and one is saved from animal life, the next lifetime, etc.